Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK. No Steve Palmer this week, but a very able deputy as ever, James Mason. James, how are you? Great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you well, Dave. Yeah, I'm good. Four weeks with the second child now, so, you know, the eyes look a little bit baggy, but, you know, apart from that, it's not going too bad.
Okay, right, yeah, so we're not yet sleeping all the way through, right? Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Everybody's telling me once again it gets better, it gets easier, and I know it will. But yeah, it's some broken night of sleep, especially in this weather as well. It's quite hard to keep him down for too long.
Yeah, I can imagine. Listen, you've got all of my sympathy. My first didn't sleep all the way through for the first 18 months, so I feel your pain.
Don't tell me 18 months, Dave.
I hope it's not as. Not as bad for you. But anyway, enough of the baby chat. Are you all good? Have you been out on that golf course yet or what? I mean, obviously, you've got your hands full at the moment, so I'm assuming not.
No, I've not. I'm planning, I think, to get out around September, I think, is probably the next time. But yeah, hopefully I might get out for 9 holes somewhere. But yeah, there's been no swinging of the clubs, Dave, unfortunately.
Okay, I hope there's been plenty of watching and backing of winners on the golf, though.
Yeah, I've been watching, trying to keep up with as much as I can. And I suppose with the little one being up overnight, I can actually watch some of the golf as well when he's up. So yeah, it's been an interesting watch over the past few weeks, especially with the major we've just had as well.
I always say to Steve, you know, punting and tipping on golf is very, very hard. But the recent weeks have just been, feels impossible.
Yeah, no, I would agree. There's been some really random winners come out of the blue. But it just shows how competitive the golfing world is. And like you said, how difficult it can be to pick out winners.
Yeah, I think the form book's gone out the window the last couple of weeks. Let's put it that way. Right, you're of course here joining us on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Welcome. Do get involved with us here on The Sweet Spot or any of our shows. Make sure you're subscribing to the channel. Drop a comment below. Maybe you're finding the winners. If you are, let us know. And definitely let us know who you fancy this week and perhaps what the lottery numbers are going to be as well. Hype the video, do all you can. We want to hear from you. Get involved. We've got you covered here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Whether you like your golf, your football, horse racing, we've got it all boxed off. So make sure you're subscribing to the channel and make sure you jump on to our friends SBK, their website, betsbk.com, because they have a new customer offer for you and you get £60 in free bets. The welcome offer, in fact, is £40, you get two free £10 bets credited after your first qualifying bet. The referred customer must bet £20 to get £20 in free bets. The welcome offer's £40, but you get £60 in total. All the terms and conditions are on the website. Make sure you jump in on there. BetSBK is the site. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, gamble aware. And I will reveal, I was going to say this a little bit later on, but once again, they are offering a 20% boost or winning bonus if you find the winner on both golf tournaments. Once upon a time, they were only picking one of the events. Forget the live for the bonus, but for both the PGA and the DP World Tour events, you get 20% on top if you can find the winner. More on that a little bit later on. Right, we've got three events to look forward to, but two to look back on. James, are you ready?
I am ready as ever.
Okay, good man. Right, we will start then with the Sudol Open. Richard Stern, 18 under par. We had a whole host of players at 16 under par. Yeah, when I mentioned it's quite difficult to find winners on the golf of late, a 13-year wait for a DP World Tour title. Started Sunday 5 shots back from fellow South African Xander Lombard, who absolutely fell apart. 64, 68, 68 and 66. A long wait, but a worthy winner in the end, James.
A worthy winner in the end, yeah, 44 years of age as well. So it shows that you can still mix it, even though you're sort of advancing in golfing years. But you mentioned pick that one out. He'd missed 3 cuts in a row heading into that tournament. It's just how difficult it can be. But it all clicked for him, didn't it, really, through the tournament. You know, 64 he opened with, finished with a 66, a couple of 68s in between there. So he played very well. And you know, he's very experienced. I suppose that's maybe it with Stern, is the fact that he's won several times on the DP World Tour before, and going into the final round, there was no real pressure on him. There's no pressure on him to win tournaments anymore. he's just enjoying what he's doing. It's his hobby, really, is his job, is playing golf, where for some of the others, they're so intent on trying to win. It's that expectation they put on themselves. And Stern didn't have that. And you mentioned, obviously, that Xander Lombard just fell away, 74 on the last round, when everyone else around him was shooting scores in the red. He was over par. So that's a bit of an issue for Lombard.
Yeah, it'd be one of those, you know, he's not the first and he won't be the last, where the mental scar will be there and he's probably a player to avoid for at least the next couple of appearances.
Yeah, it's a short game for me. It's his chipping, you know, around the greens. That part of his game needs to improve so much before you have any real sort of confidence, I think, in backing him. He's a big lad. He can hit the ball a long way. And he's a bit of a streaky putter, but if he has to get up and down, he has to scramble. That's an area of the game which just isn't quite there for him at the moment.
Right, any other takeaways? Who else caught your eye, James?
I think Jakob Skovholsen again. I think he's performing really well at the moment, you know, 16 under in that large group of players that were tied for second place. So again, it's good to see him doing well. Victor Perez as well, obviously not sure what's happening with LIV Golf in terms of next season. He is a LIV player now, having recently made the move there. So he could be coming sort of back more regularly to the DP World Tour. So I think it's good that he's kept his DP World Tour membership, that he's still playing these tournaments. But again, he's such a classy player as Perez, you know, one of the best ball strikers when it comes to the irons. So I would be happy for him to come back. You know, he's made the little move over to LIV. I don't think it'll work out, but come back. And he's a Ryder Cup potential player as well. I think he has been before, could be again. So I think it's nice to see him playing well.
You'd be happy for him to come back. Are there any that you wouldn't be happy about, James?
Yeah. There's pretty much those who went to start with and who blabbered on about how we're moving over here to grow the game of golf and go to different countries. You know, we want to play less. And then suddenly now it's turned into we want more tournaments. And it was just absolute nonsense that they were going over there to grow the game of golf. They were going over there for a payday. If they just said that, I would have respected the decision. But it's the players that went over there and started banging the drum for how this is the next best thing. Those are the players that I wouldn't really mind if they don't come back.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
I'm an angry man, aren't I? With two kids now. An angry
You're
man.
Short of sleep, mate. That's what it is. That is what it is, Jase. What about Marcus Armitage as well? He was back in the frame.
Yeah, no, nice for Armitage. Again, he's someone who's a decent driver of the ball, hits at a fair distance. It's just trying to get those sort of finesse parts of his game back on song. But yeah, 16 under, part of that group that was in second place. So it's good to see him performing well. You sort of look at the others in that group as well. I mean, Marcus Kinnehult, the Swede, you know, we finished with a 64, so that was a very strong end to the tournament for him. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes for the rest of the season as well. I think Nathan Kimpsey was another one I had an eye on as well. Now, he finished on 15 under, so he's in a share of eighth position, but he came into that tournament having gone through US Open qualifying and winning his US Open qualifying event. So he's going to be playing in the major in a couple of weeks' time at Shinnecock. So I think he's definitely one to watch out for. He's superb from tee to green. It's just the putter, which he just needs to get the consistency with. It's kind of not at that level yet, but Kimpsey reminds me a bit of Aaron Rye when he was so good from tee to green, but just couldn't get the putter working. And then Rye worked so hard on it. You know, obviously Rye went through the DP World Tour, went onto the PGA, you know, and he built his reputation, but he worked so hard on his putting, got his breakthrough on the PGA Tour. Of course, now he's a major winner. Kimpsey, although still, I think, way back from where Rye's level is, it's very sort of similarities I can see between those two players in terms of great from tee to green, but the putting was letting him down. That's where Kimpsey is at the moment.
He just needs to put two gloves on. Job done.
There you go. Have you ever played with two gloves on, Dave, or not?
No, listen, it would be up for discussion if I've ever played with one glove, to be fair, James, but I've never tried it. What about yourself?
No, I've never tried. I've had the two, when it's wet, I've had the two waterproof gloves on.
Oh, you're one of them.
I hate it.
James.
I tried it and I've never done it again because I hate it. It feels weird with two gloves on. Obviously, you might see more people playing with two gloves on now, Rise
well,
won the major.
Knows? Yeah, who knows? Could be trend setting. Who knows? Anything else to add then from the Sudo Open?
No, I think that's all. There's a few more points, but they come into my tips later on. So we'll
all right, we'll save
leave
the good
those.
Stuff. Save the good stuff. Okay, right, let's move on then to the Byron Nelson. Just the 30 under par here for Wyndham Clark, who, of course, the 2023 US Open champion. I looked back and has not won an event since February 2024, which is a little bit wild, James, actually, as a starting point.
It is a little bit wild. And again, it's, you know, you mentioned how hard it is to pick out winners at the moment. He'd been kind of showing a bit of form sort of going into the event. He's had some miscuts. You know, he missed the PGA Championship cut before this event. But before that, you know, tied 16th at the Heritage, tied 21st at the Masters. So there were signs he was starting to improve a little bit. I think he's had a little bit of injury problem as well as Wyndham Clark. But it's nice to see him back. And to be honest, anybody that goes and shoots a bogey-free, 11 under par on the final round to get up to 30 under. And when you go 7 under on that back nine as well, going around in 28 shots, you deserve to win. So you got to doff your cap to him.
You have indeed. Yeah, 30 under par, the winning score. Three shots back was Siwoo Kim. Two shots back of him was Scottie Scheffler. We had Jackson Subar up there, Keith Mitchell, Tony Finau, you know, returning to the fray. But you mentioned that 11 under par on Sunday, 157 feet of putts drained on Sunday. That is just remarkable. And a phrase I like to use is PlayStation golf, because it's kind of no miss stuff. You just find the hole and in it goes.
Yeah, pretty much. Target golf, get it on the green. And it was always the Tiger Woods games where you hit the putt and when it was going to go in from a long distance, it went to a really slow motion replay of it going into the hole.
Yeah, that's
I remember that one well.
Indeed, indeed. So what did you make of it then, James? Obviously, you know, it was billed as Siwoo Kim out in front. Will Scottie Scheffler catch him going into the Sunday? And Wyndham Clark just burst through, hit the front and never looked back.
It can happen, can't it? When, like you said, it's billed as two players going at it and no one's really looking behind them. Certainly not that far behind with Wyndham Clark. And then again, he had the pressure off. He just thought, right, just go, let loose a little bit, roll some putts in. And when you start to get one putt in, two putts in, three putts go in, you just get the confidence. And I think that's what happened. And then suddenly Siwoo Kim and Scheffler look around at the leaderboard and they've been overtaken. You just got to give huge credit to Wyndham Clark for how he performed. Scheffler and Siwoo Kim both shot 65s. It wasn't a bad final round for them, but yeah. In relation to that tournament and how low the scores are and you've got to be, it just wasn't quite up to the mark. They, you know, they're a few shots away from where they needed to be.
Where are you at the moment with Scottie Scheffler?
He's, again, churning along quite nicely, isn't he? He's maybe not at the peak where he was, where you're thinking he's going to win every tournament going into it. And I think he's been more opposable in recent tournaments as well with the price that he goes into them. But you'd fear him, I think, going into the US Open. I think he's maybe, if he can obviously have a few more decent sort of warm-ups going into it, it's going to be really interesting to see how he does at the US Open. But he's certainly a player, I think, who is gearing himself up for that major.
Interesting you say that, James, because I know you're a punter that runs away from the short prices in the golf, but the fact that you're even sort of suggesting that tells me that you must really fancy him.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like I said, I really mentioned that I really don't like a short price because it's, you know, anything can happen in the game of golf like we've seen this season, loads of years before as well. So, yeah, there's got to be huge confidence from my part that he will do well at Shinnecock, and it's just hard to see him not at least being in contention come on that Sunday of the major.
Okay, right. What of the others? You mentioned Siwoo Kim was up there. You know, he didn't exactly, as you say, falter and fade away. I think they just got blown away by the winner on the day.
Yeah, they did. Again, didn't pay badly. Couldn't quite match his round. Obviously, Clark hit a 60 on the last round. Siwoo Kim had that same score on round two. We just couldn't quite replicate that. In terms of a bit further down, the one player that I've marked out and the one player that I think has got such a promising career ahead of him is Blades Brown. He had a tied 14th finish. It's actually seen him now being awarded special temporary membership on the PGA Tour, so it means he can accept unlimited sponsor exemptions through the rest of this year. He has said that he plans to continue playing on the Korn Ferry Tour. Well, he's continuing to put in good performances, but he's up to 104th in the world now. It's his highest ranking. I just think for Brown at the minute, it's just timing it to get him in the right tournament at the right time, because when he does eventually go in and win, and he will, obviously you won't get the price that you can get on him at the moment going to certain events. So it's just timing it right. That's the absolute key with him. But he's a really, really talented player.
Yeah, he's had a few mentions on this show from Steve in particular. I think you've mentioned him as well in the past when you was on before, James. So big fan, and he's very, very young and open to all sorts of improvement as well.
All sorts of improvement. I think at the minute it's just it's his mannerisms, his attitude, how he handles himself with the interviews post round, pre round, going into it. He did very, very limited press in last week's tournament, which I think is good. He's just, you know, he was focused on trying to perform well. He must have a good team around him, but you've got to give credit to the team around him, to his family, his parents as well, for keeping, you know, a stable head on the shoulders. And he's just laser focused at the minute on golf, but he's not getting his eyes taken away to the PGA Tour and looking there. As he said, he's going to continue playing on the Korn Ferry Tour this season. And I think that's great. He came out and said, look, it's given me a platform to build from the Korn Ferry Tour to get where he is today. So I think that's very good. He recognises his roots and where he's got to today. And he's, yeah, going to continue to play on the Korn Ferry, but the PGA as well.
Yeah, confident lad. I like that he's sort of staying humble as well. I mentioned Tony Finau. Nice to see him back in the Shake Up.
Yeah, big Tony. I do like Tony Finau. He's a likable character,
not?
Isn't he?
How can you not?
Exactly. He's a very likable character. He just kind of lackadaisical, isn't he? You know, on the tee, he's got so much power. Like, if he properly went for it, he could rip it an absolute mile. But he's just sort of, I think he's sort of reserved on his long game. But it's always been the short game of Finau. You know, with the victories that he's had, he's always putted pretty streaky. But he's just been in the wilderness for the past couple of seasons. But I think it's good to see him back. Fingers crossed that we will see Finau, you know, back competing for titles and potentially back in a Ryder Cup team as well.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone in some kind of weird time machine where we're seeing like Ricky Fowler and Tony Finau featuring on leaderboards in recent weeks. But there we go. Right, anything else to add, James? Because we've got three tournaments to preview.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that for the reviews.
Okay, right. I mentioned the bonus, SBK, 20% winning bonus. Then you get a boost if you can find the winner of the two events, one on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. Coming up, we've got the Charles Schwab Challenge and the Austrian Alpine Open. 20% winning boost on top with our friends at SBK. If you can find the winner, and the man I'm joined with this week is going to do that for you. Right, we're going to go chronological order, James. So we're going with the Livers first. Where are we off to? And sort of what does the course look like?
Yeah, so this is the eighth tournament of the LIV Golf season. It's the second visit to Korea in the league's history. They had the inaugural LIV Golf Korea last year. That was held at the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club in Incheon outside Seoul. But this year, it's a change in destination. They go to the ASAD Country Club in Busan. It's a par 70. It's not the biggest when you look at some of the courses around, and especially LIV seem to go for the bigger courses around sort of 7,000 yards. This is just 7,024. So it's a short one. It underwent a major redesign in 2019. That was by the renowned architect Rhys Jones. It has been the host of the BMW LPGA Championship for three seasons as well. There are three nine-hole courses on this complex. You've got the Valley, the Lake, and the Pine. For LIV Korea, we'll be using the Valley for the front nine and the Lake for the back nine. There's two changes to what is usually a par 72 for the members, making this a par 70. So the ninth, which is usually a par five, will be a par four, 501 yards. And then you've got the 11th, which is 486 yards. That goes from a five to a four as well. And it's sort of varying sets of nines as well. You look at the Valley, it's narrow, it's tree-lined. Accuracy will probably be key there. The Lake, though, it's more open. It's a bit easier to score on, I would suggest. Although, you know, the sea breezes coming in, it can affect scoring if it picks up. However, weather forecast going into this one, the winds are only set to peak at around sort of 15 miles an hour. That's across all 4 days, so it's relatively light. It's partly cloudy on Thursday, but it's full sunshine from then onwards, sort of low to mid-20s. So the weather, the scoring conditions look really, really well. With the short yardage, accuracy is probably favoured over power, but I think there is the potential for the bigger hitters to make their mark, especially on the back nine. So I think there's different ways you can play this. It's interesting when Rhys was asked, you know, if the course, when he did the redesign, did this course give him memories of any others? And he mentioned two. He said Baltusrol, which has hosted two USPGAs and seven US Opens for the men. And he said Bellerive as well. That's hosted two USPGAs and a US Open. So I had a little look at those two courses when I've been picking out the team. tips as well. Going into this one, if you could say there's a little bit of drama or not, Korean Golf Club, so they were formerly Ironheads Golf Club. They got rebranded this season. They've assigned Danny Lee as a wildcard player now for the remainder of the season. He's been replaced in the team by the current KPGA Tour points leader in Do-Yeob Mun. It hasn't gone down fantastically well, especially from Dustin Johnson's Four Aces team. They've questioned the decision on social media. They've said, is that allowed? Don't know about the rules and the eligibility, obviously, with the sort of worries about LIV Golf and whether it's going to continue past this year. I don't think much attention is going to be put on it. So it'd be interesting to see how the Korean Golf Club do anyway on their home tournament. There's one player as well, Tyrrell Hatton. He's missing this week's event. His wife gave birth last week, so he's been replaced in his team by the German Max Rotloff. Yeah. I'd never heard of him either, but he's a journeyman, but he's got his chance to have a round, or have four rounds anyway, in LIV Golf career. Bets are placed by 5:15 a.m. on Thursday for this one.
Very comprehensive, James. And I've managed to find another person who cares about the team event in LIV. Steve does, and you're the second person. So there you go, a bit of drama there with the Korean team. Right, a show for you. Around about 5-2, John Rahm is our market leader. Then we've got DeChambeau in at 10-ish, David Puig 12, Neiman 12, Thomas Dietrich 16. Right, you're telling me that DeChambeau is the defending champion, but we're a different track. How many selections are you going for here, James?
We've got two selections.
Okay, right. LIV Korea, what is the best bet?
Going with Thomas Peters. Now, he is still searching for his maiden LIV title, but there have been positive signs from what I've seen of him this year. He was tied fourth in Riyadh, third in Hong Kong, tied sixth in Singapore. So I'm very upbeat about his chances going into this one. He enjoyed his trip to Korea last year. He finished in a share of fourth. You know, could be in for another really strong showing at this new venue. You know, when Peters is driving his own song, it's great to watch. You know, consistency can be an issue at times, you know, with his driving accuracy suffering this season, but I'm happy to take a chance on him. You know, for the fact that the short yardage means that driver may not be coming out of the bag that often. It could be a lower wood. It could be a long iron. So that could help Peters a little bit. I think he'd be more accurate when he goes down the bag a little. If he can find the short stuff more often than not, it could play into his hands. You know, he's a solid ball striker with the irons. He's excelled on the greens this season as well. He's 11th in putting average on the LIV Golf stats as well. Also worth noting, I mentioned Reese before when he talked about the courses that he sort of had sort of similarities or comparisons to this one. Well, 2018 PGA Championship, that came at Belrive, and that's where Peters' best PGA result has come as well. So I think that's a positive factor going into this one, that he's played so well at a course that Reese has redesigned.
A good case made for Thomas Peters. He is banned from the sweet spot, usually when it leaves Steve's mouth. So I'll let you off, James. So Thomas Peters is the main pick then. Who else have you got for us?
Yeah, we're going for Sebastián Muñoz is the second and final pick. Now, he has been solid from tee to green this season. He's 10th in driving accuracy, 8th in greens regulation. Been absolutely no issues with the long game. The putter, that's the club that is currently limiting him. He's down in 38 in the putting average, but he gives himself plenty of opportunities to make birdie. You know, the flat stick, it has shown signs of improving in recent months, so I'm a bit more upbeat about his chances. Simply, if the putter warms up for Muñoz, he should be in the mix. You know, his long game, his tee to green game is so good that he just needs to find a little bit of improvement on those greens.
Yeah, he's a very confident chap as well. Certainly, it'd be one to run towards the winning line, should it appear, towards the back end of that golf tournament. Right, before we move on then, James, let's tackle some of the names, big names at the top of the market. John Rahm, outside of the price, which I know you won't like, is not your selection. Why not?
A lot was down to the price, but outside of the price, to be honest, you could make a case for him to say, I mean, he's playing superbly. He's the best player on LIV at the moment. He played well in the major. For me, it's the price. That's the reason, right? I'm not going for him because it's so short. You can't really find any sort of holes in his game at the moment. But, you know, there's 53 others in the field, sorry, that could have a say on this tournament. So, yeah, the price and that aspect, I just was happy to swerve him.
Okay, DeChambeau?
I don't think his head's in the game at the moment. With all that's going on with LIV, he's been asked about, you know, where the tour is going at the moment. He said that he's positive that sort of a resolution on new funding can be found, but you know, he's not performed well in the majors. He said as well, if Liv goes down the pan, then he's going to concentrate on his YouTube channel and all the golf stuff that he does there. I mean, I just think go if you want. I mean, I think the golfing world is just so over Bryson DeChambeau that I'm just, yeah, don't want to back him, and I just don't think his head's in the game.
Fair enough. Right, we've got two more tournaments to tackle. Should we move on, or is there anything else to add?
No, that's all from Live Korea.
Okay, right, let's go to the DP World Tour then. And we move from Belgium to Austria, and we head 2,500 meters above sea level. This is the Austrian Alpine Open, an event that dates back to 1990, which was won by Bernhard Langer. It's been on and off the tour, returned last year. Won by German Nikolai von Dellingshausen. Don't think he's won anything since, or he didn't win much before then. We've got a new venue, though, James. We are still quite significantly above sea level, but where are we off to?
Yeah, we're off to the golf club Kitzbühel Schwarzerreit. That's my pronunciation there. I've been practicing that all yesterday. But yeah, it'd been an interesting course, this one. It's the first time that it has staged a DP World Tour event. It did host the 2003 Alpine Open. That was on the Hotel Planetor. But there's been extensive development since then in order to upgrade the standards that are required to host a tournament at this level. It's had 7 new tee boxes, newly modelled bunkers, upgraded practice facilities. So I think it'd be really good for the field this week. It's a par 70, 6,822 yards, so it's not long by any stretch of the imagination. It's got 3 par 5s, 10 par 4s and 5 par 3s. You know, 5 par 3s are something you don't often see that much on a professional course anyway, so it's not a long one. Par 3 scoring, that could be one to watch out for. Four of the par 3s are 200 yards plus as well, so I think that's where they try and sort of rein in the scoring a little bit. Said the yardage at 6,822, it sits roughly about 2,600 feet above sea level, so the ball's going to travel further anyway due to the reduced air density, so it's not really one, I don't think, that's going to be one from off the tee. It's one that's going to be one sort of the wedge play into the greens, but the putter is what I'm really looking at going into this one. It's a diverse course. It's got some flat parkland areas, then there's steeper holes with elevation changes. So like I said, accuracy off the tee will be beneficial, but it's all about rolling those putts in. You've got to give yourself lots of good looks, and I think it'd be interesting to see how this field competes. Weather forecast, it looks very good. Light winds, temps are hitting around mid to early 20, so no issues there. Bets placed by 6 a.m., please, on Thursday.
Right, a show. Sepp Straka, 8-1 turn up. There we go. Casey Jarvis, 18s. Daniel Hillier, 25s. Limbo, 25s. And then it is about 28 bar. Listen, Sepp Straka back. You know, I know he's been in America for a long, long time, but he's... Oh, before I ask you, I mean, is he in your team, James?
He's not.
I didn't think he would be, but a bit of a turn up, and obviously he takes a chunk out of the market.
Takes a chunk out of the market, which I think is really good. So I'd probably say thank you very much, Sepp Straka, for turning up to this event and making the sort of the bookies scared a little bit. But yeah, I think there's the pressure, isn't there, of winning on home soil, yeah. I think, for Straka. So that could play into it. He's probably got a few more media responsibilities this week in the lead up to the first round as well. So yeah, I was happy to avoid Straka.
Yeah, I thought you might. Cause I think it would be a big ask for him to win this, but he's definitely classy enough. That is for sure. How many are you putting up in this one?
Got 4 selections for this one.
4 selections. Okay, right. I've fallen into a habit of backing Wen Yi Ding every single week. So let's see if he's in your team. Let's hope so. Anyway, who is the main pick?
The main pick is Casey Jarvis. Now, it's not like me to go for someone that is close towards the top of the betting. He's second in the betting going into this one, but he's just so hard to ignore going into this one. He's one of the informed players on the European circuit. He won back-to-back events at the end of Feb, start of March. They were in Kenya and his native South Africa. He then went tied second at the Joburg Open, tied 13th at the Indian Open. Struggled a little bit on his next 3 starts, but 2 of those were in the majors. You know, missed cut at the Masters, tied 65th at the PGA. It was positive last week, though. He was back to a bit of form, tied 22nd at the Sudal Open, which is also played at sort of a short, fiddly course like this one. So that's a big positive. Jarvis as well, well. Mentioned sort of the wedges or the approach play. He's fifth in strokes gained approach. So the irons are looking really, really sharp. But the putting as well. He's in the top five for putts per round, putts per green in regulation. He's 18th in stroke gained in that department. You know, it's evidence of just how strong he has been on the greens this season. Par three scoring as well. He's fourth in that department. So he's obviously striking the ball really well when it comes to those holes. You know, it's a big, big bonus where they've got five to go at this course. He's 13th in par four scoring as well. And then you throw in the fact that he's third in birdies per round on the DP World Tour. And everything for me is lining up very, very nicely. He also has a win in Austria on his CV. He won the 2023 Eurobank Open. That was on the Challenge Tour. So it's another tick in the box for me. I just think he's really, really hard to ignore. And the fact his price is so good because Straka's there, it just boosts his chances even more.
Good stuff. And of course, if you do back him and he does win, you get a 20% boost on top of that with our friends at SBK as well. So do remember that. Right, here's your main selection then, James. Three more to come. Who else have you got for us?
Yeah, we're going for Kota Kaneko. So he's making really positive strides in what is his rookie DP World Tour season. But he's really clicked into gear of late. He was tied ninth at the Turkish Airlines Open. He was tied second at last week's Sudal Open. And again, the short course that requires a thinker's approach suits him really, really well. He was eighth in strokes gained approach in Belgium. If he can maintain those high levels with the irons, he should be there or thereabouts. And that is because there's such confidence in his short game. He's unrivaled in strokes gained putting on the DP World Tour. There's no player that is better with a flat stick at the moment. He's reliable off the tee as well. You know, I said it's not the be all and end all to be finding the fairways with regularity, but it doesn't hurt to find them. Doesn't hurt to get on the short grass. He's ninth in drive and accuracy. So I just think there's a few stats for him going into this one that are very, very beneficial. And with that performance in the Sudal Open in Belgium, I expect him to keep the momentum going and be right in the mix come Sunday.
Right, he's the next best. Who is your third selection?
Third selection, someone who is always a threat when it comes to the shorter courses, and that is Darius van Driel. He's not a player who is blessed with brute power, bless him, but it's a type of test. This is where he makes his money. This is where he gets his finishes that he requires, you know, to keep his tour card for the next season and continue to do what he's doing. He's got a strong run of form heading into this event. He was tied 18th at the Indian Open, tied 8th at the China Open, tied 4th at the Turkish Airlines. He'd had a miscut at the Catalonia Championship, but then bounced back last week with a tied 13 at the Sudal Open. He's another player as well that's got a Eurobank Open win to his name. That was back in 2018. He also won the 2019 Rolex Trophy. That was in Switzerland. Again, that was at a short course like this one. So he really, really benefits from the short courses where it's course management, where we're, you know, sort of fiddly, plotting your way around. And I just think this could be his type of test again.
Nice, yeah. Steve put him up either last week or the week before. Can't even remember. But yeah, he's given him a big shout recently. So you're in good company there, James. And the final pick, who are we going for?
Final pick is a bit further down that betting list but it's Albin Bergström. A bigger price, like I mentioned, but he's worth keeping on side, you know. Although the Hotel Planner event back in 2003, you know, is at this course and maybe can't take too much from it, it's very interesting to note that four Swedish players then were in the top 12. So Bergström, I think, is another Swedish player who could show his prowess around this course. He was on a miserable run of form. I'm not starting this tip off very well. On a miserable run of form in 2026, he missed 8 cuts in a row, but something seems to have clicked over his last two starts. You know, there's big positives going into this event. He was tied 43rd at the Catalonia Championship, and then he was tied 13th last week at the Sudal Open. Plenty to feel happy about for a player who was so low on confidence. One part of his game, though, even when he wasn't playing well and missing cuts, that wasn't an issue, was the putting. You know, his fourth in strokes gained in that department. It puts him right into my focus for this event. The long game, that was obviously the issue, but he looked really, really good from tee to green at the Sudal Open. He was in the top 10 for driving accuracy and greens and regulation. He was 22nd for strokes gained approach. So there's definitely a lot to be more optimistic for Bergström. And this type of test, I think, could be right up his alley, just like it was last week.
Right, give me a feel for what sort of price he is, James. Going to be a big price, right?
He is going to be a big price. You're looking at around 200 you can get Bergström at.
Nice. Okay, get as many places as possible. And of course, a reminder, 20% winner's boost on top of that with SBK. So there you go, 200 to 1. Was anyone close to being in your team for this one, James?
Kimpsey was close, but just like I mentioned, with the putting, when that's the club and the bag, that isn't really his best weapon, and he's sometimes a little streaky. You know, this tournament is going to be about holding your putt. So, yeah, Kimpsey, I could leave him alone there. Looking at a few others, Callum Hill was another one that I nearly put in. You know, he's putted very, very well this season. Just didn't quite have that confidence enough to put him into. And Adrian Ategi was another one as well. You know, he's pretty bullet straight off the tee. He's been putting pretty well. But again,
last week, yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, very good. But yeah, he just missed out as well. And there's loads that you can make a case for when you go down the best. I mean, Hoist Loughton's another one. But again, Loughton, historically, very good tee to green. Putting is what can let him down, though. So I want red hot putters this week.
Okay, yeah, I can tell you that. I didn't get much of a run for my money last week as well. Anyway, right, should we move on to the Charles Schwab? Listen, this one is formerly known as the Fort Worth Invitational at Colonial, which is, I think, an iconic golf course. And another jacket being handed out here, a tartan one, to the winner. Tell us about the course first, James, and when we should be betting by.
Yeah, so it's a par 70, 7,289 yards. You've got two par fives, 12 par fours, and four par threes. Colonial Country Club, like you mentioned, affectionately known as Hogan's Alley. That's because he won a record five times here. No one has got close to winning five times. You've got multiple two-time winners, but then you go up to Hogan, who's won five times. It's a narrow tree-lined course. It's got 12 really challenging dogleg holes, strategically placed fairway bunkers. Water's a regular theme as well. We'd like to have a bit of a stretch of hole that is nicknamed these days, and this is no different. So you've got the horrible horseshoe stretch of holes on this course. That's holes 3 to 5. So the third, it's a 483-yard sharp dogleg par 4. It's a dogleg left, that one. The fourth is a 247-yard par 3. I'd be getting my driver out for that one. And then the fifth is a 481-yard par 4 dogleg right. So to sort of sum up about how difficult this stretch of holes can play, in 2019, it played 284 over par. It was the most difficult three-hole stretch on the PGA Tour that season. So it's got a real severe bite to it if you're not playing well. Generally, the course does favour accurate hitters over the bombers. There's only been a couple of additions really over the past sort of decade where the bigger hitters have thrived more than the accurate type. So true and straight off the tee is favoured. But again, that's not a stat that I'm really sort of going down on. I'm not putting massive emphasis on that one because, you know, there has been different types of winners, accurate and bombers. I'm focused first and foremost on putting. Stroke game putting in last year when he was looking at the stats. In last year's event, Scheffler, he led in tee to green and approach, but it was minus 0.21 in his putting and he finished up tied fourth in the end. You look at the winner, who was Ben Griffin, he was third in strokes game putting, and the second player, Matty Schmid, he led in putting. So it shows you how important it is to be holing your putts. Be really interesting to see how the players sort of handle these tests. You're looking at the weather forecast, hot and humid throughout the tournament. Thursday looks like it will have the best of the weather, so that could be the best scoring days. It's clear that day. There are chances of thunderstorms over the next 3 days, so something to watch out for. The winds, though, they're relatively light for Texas. You don't really expect that. Texas, usually it blows a gust, and that has a big impact, but said to be peaking at around 15 miles an hour, so wind won't be an issue, but potential thunderstorms could have a bit of a stop-start feel, especially over the weekend. Bets to be placed by 1 p.m. on Thursday.
Good stuff. And yeah, we're on the same page here, James. I've written down, sending it off the tee will not get you home here. And I think we're on the same page. Right, Ludwig Åberg is our market leader, around about 9 to 1. We've got Russell Henley, 18s, Justin Thomas, 22s, Bobby Mack, 22s, Ben Griffin, as James mentioned, the defending champion, a pony, 25s. Then we've got Ricky Fowler, JJ Spawn, around about 28s. Last five winners, Ben Griffin, Davis Riley, Emiliano Grillo, Sam Burns, and Jason Cockrack. So how many players are we putting up for this one, James?
I've got three selections.
Three selections. Okay, who is the main pick then for the Charles Schwab?
The main pick, and I mentioned before we came on air, I was like, you're going to like this pick to start off with, and hopefully the viewers are as well, because it's Carl Phillips. Now you're getting him had a big, big price going into this one, but he's looking for his second PGA Tour title. He made his breakthrough at last year's Puerto Rico Open. He cruised to a three-shot victory. The Aussie, he looks like a real, real talent. You know, certainly someone, along with sort of Blades Brown, that I'm keeping a watch over the years to come. You know, he impressed on his Colonial debut last year. He finished tied 11th. He now returns for his second crack, having broken his PGA Tour duck. You know, he's a developed player since then over the last 12 months. Very, very impressive to watch his progress so far. One club that he's comfortable with is the putter. He's 10th in strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour. He's 6th in total putting. He had a top 25 finish 2 starts ago at Myrtle Beach. I just think he's been massively overlooked heading into this tournament, and he's someone I think that will thrive at this test like he did last year when he was tied 11th.
Yeah, he's a favourite, not just on the show here, but the sweet spotters as well in the YouTube comments often light up. One or two like to follow him. So do let us know who you're backing this week. Are you following James? What price is he? He's going to be a big price. He always is.
Yeah, Phillips at the minute. I think you can get him around 130s, around that mark.
Marvellous. Right, okay. I'm assuming the prices don't get bigger, James, but it's a ballsy first selection. I like it. Who's the next best?
Yeah, next best is Christian Bezuidenhout. Yeah, the prices do go down from here, but still, he's a good price when you look at him. It's staying on the theme of the strong putters. You know, the South African, he's one of the best in the business when it comes to wielding the flat stick. That's on the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour. He's in the top 10 for putting average and strokes gained on the US circuit this season. He's 4th in total putting, so no doubts about his work on the greens. He's performed well as well on his last 4 visits to Colonial. His finishes are 15th, 21st, 17th and 16th. So there's plenty to like about how he has handled himself around this track. Some solid results this season. He had a tied 6th at Myrtle Beach. He had a top 10 at Puerto Rico. If he can just sharpen up that approach play a little bit, I think he's got every chance of contending just with how comfortable and how confident he is on the greens.
Okie dokie. Right, and the third and final pick for the Charles Schwab.
Yeah, we're going with Harry Hall for the final one. He's become a regular fixture on the PGA Tour. You know, it's a testament to the work that he's done to get to this stage. I mean, I mentioned likeable characters, Tony Finau before when doing the reviews of the tournaments. Harry Hall, he's a really likeable character for me. He's got his little flat cap on. To be honest, he might have had a hard paper round. He looks older than 28 to me when I do look at him. But he's such a likeable player. He won the 2024 ISCO Championship. Don't know if you remember, Dave, this always comes up, but he had a 5-man playoff that he came through. And I was on him on that tournament and I was sweating profusely, more than I am in my office right now in the heat that we're in. But he had a 5-man playoff. And before he got into the playoff, he hooked his drive left and out of bounds when he was leading. It wasn't an easy a watch, but I think he chipped in for a birdie or put it right up next to the hole in the playoff to win it. So he's a man that I will have fond memories of for a long, long time. But, you know, he's been making solid progress since he got that debut win. Last year, 5 top 10s, 15 top 25s, and he's continued that form this year. He's got 3 top 10s, 5 top 25s. It's very notable, though, that 2 of the top 10s, they've come in signature events, the Arnold Palmer, the Truist Championship. So he's had no problems cutting it with the world's best players. I think he's really got that confidence now that he knows he belongs at this level. So there's no issues for me on that. A key club for Hall, especially last year, is the putter. He was 3rd in strokes gained putting last year. He's been rolling the rock pretty well, maybe not to the same levels. You know, he's 25th in overall putting average this season, but that's still good enough for me. You add in his form at Colonial as well, and the argument just strengthens for him. He was 3rd here on debut in 2023. He did miss the cut the following year, but then he came back last year and he ended up 6th. He likes his trips to Texas. I think a second win could potentially be on the cards for him.
That's lovely. That would be, he is certainly a character. He'd be a very popular winner. Anyone near the top of the market that you like, dear James? You've gone for some big prices.
Yeah, big prices. Looking at the top of the market, Robert McIntyre was one I quite liked. You know, he's very solid with a short game. I don't know about McIntyre in terms of how he's endearing himself. This is it to the PGA Tour and to the fans. Obviously, with his antics that he had at the Masters, he's had a few sort of expletives come out when he's playing around tournaments. I don't know whether it's just the Scottish in him, and whether Americans don't like the Scots, but the Americans didn't like Colin Montgomery, did they? They completely rattled him times and they kept going at him. I don't know if McIntyre is the same, but yeah, I'm just not sure on him going into this one. Akshay Bhatia was very, very close to going in.
He's a favourite of mine. Yeah,
he's a similar price to Harry Hall going into this one. He's putting really well. I just fancied Hall a little bit more over Bhatia, but he was very, very close to making it into my team, but he just missed out. Can't back them all, can we?
No, you can't, especially when there's three tournaments. Some people don't like this question, but I'll ask it anyway. James, who's just going to have one bet this week? Who would it be?
One bet this week, Casey Jarvis. It's not like me to go for such a short odds for my best bet.
It isn't. No, yeah, you've played back, are you? Yeah,
changed, exactly. Changed.
You're a changed man. Right, let's have a roundup then of the selections. I'll try and remember to go in chronological order. Right, live career, who are you going for?
Yeah, we've got Thomas Peters and Sebastian Munoz.
Okay, and then we are off to Austria on the DP World Tour. Who are we going for?
Got Casey Jarvis, Kota Kaneko, Darius van Driel and Albin Bergstrom.
And remind us of the selections in the Charles Schwab.
Carl Phillips, Christian Bezuidenhout and Harry Hall.
Beautiful. Right, you jump in the comments out there. Let us know who you're backing this week. If you're doing each way doubles, trebles, the whole lot. It's a chance for the old face spitter. James, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever. I wish you well with the little one as well, particularly in this heat. So hopefully you are all able to get some sleep in the not too distant future. You out there, do gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf and we'll see you next time.